Good to be back with you. Let's begin with our gospel reading, which is from John chapter 10. I'll read down through verse 11, just the first part of that 11th verse. Hear the word of the Lord. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. But the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they might have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Here is the sermon in a soundbite. Everything you need to know for this sermon in about a minute. Our target for understanding is the figure of speech metaphor that Jesus gives to his disciples. I am the good shepherd. This image evokes a sense of comfort and should become a source of strength. Yet the text tells us that some of his first listeners did not understand what he was saying to them. And this lack of recognition of the richness of the shepherd image is even more of a concern today. So let's overcome the comprehension gap experienced by those first listeners by refreshing our appreciation for the key image that Jesus gives of himself. Let's ponder shepherding as a lost vocation. Here is the takeaway from this message. The more of ourselves that we yield to the watchful care of the good shepherd, the greater our contentment and spiritual strength. We could gain so much by becoming a loyal sheep who knows and yields to a good shepherd. For that good shepherd said, "I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this image and picture. And thank you for this congregation who is about to get to know a new under shepherd. Thank you for the joy to be here and to share about shepherding at this moment and to see what the Spirit has to say to us about being good sheep. I ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on my last visit with you, which wasn't all that long ago, I spoke from the same passage. You may have thought I forgot that. That's possible. I could do that. I spoke on hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, and our focus was on listening comprehension. How do we become attuned to the voice of the Master? And the big idea for that message was that if we wish to attune our ears to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, we must attend to the Word of God and to the Scriptures. So this requires a high view of Scripture. We talked about sola scriptura, that big concept, as an important basis of faith for this congregation. We're going to move on today and consider shepherding a lost vocation. Same passage, different emphasis. Shepherding is an ancient occupation. It is rare today for anyone to actually know a shepherd. Let's just take a poll. How many of you know more than five shepherds? Three? One. Well, there's one there. And in a moment, I'm going to separate sheep ranchers from shepherds. And that would probably deal with those two that at least are known. We don't know shepherds today. Sheep keeping, being otherwise known as shepherding, is a vanishing occupation. Yes, sheep farms and ranches still exist, but these run with few shepherds and have little resemblance to sheep tending as it was in the ancient world. Now, our initial task then is going to be to solidify the core distinction between shepherding and sheep keeping. Let's go there. Shepherding in the ancient tradition involves guiding sheep to fresh food, water, and safety in the midst of wild terrain. Shepherds and sheep dwell together on unowned, unoccupied, and untamed land. A shepherd owns the sheep, but not the ground beneath their feet. The task of shepherding involves keeping helpless sheep protected from predators in places where there are few fences or human-made barriers. The shepherd is the security system for those helpless sheep. He is the security system and the logistics manager. Now, the contrast with modern sheep farming is this. Sheep today are fenced in secure pastures with food and water brought to the sheep. So here's one reason why shepherding has become a lost vocation. Who would aspire to live like an ancient shepherd, to be on duty 24/7, 365 days a year, and to not know where you're going to sleep that night as you follow the needs of the sheep? Classic shepherding is hard work. Indeed, given the risks to self and sheep, it is nearly an impossible one. Now, I want to consider a second reason why shepherding is now a nearly extinct profession. Sheep keeping was primarily about producing wool. We have wool there. Yes, there are other benefits from sheep, and I'll mention those, including food. But the main purpose of sheep keeping in the ancient land was textile production. The biblical importance of sheep was tied to warm clothing and durable clothing. Today, we have synthetic wools. It has advantages over natural wool, cost, hair, even color options. Back a few years ago, I had the opportunity with my wife to do a tour of Ireland, a country famous for what? It's wool clothing. Now, on a stop to watch yet another flock of cute sheep, that's what you do when you tour Ireland, I attempted to engage in a conversation with a local farmer. Not my smartest move. I unintentionally hit a button regarding the plight of wool production and profitability. I heard more than a lecture. Be forewarned, do not invite an angry Irish farmer to step up on a soapbox. That woman ranted on and on and on about selling wool supply of lanolin for the cosmetic industry and how she wanted to supply wool for the textile industry. She had a system in her mind. She believed this was all part of a world government and plot against local shepherds. This was yet another strategy of the wretched English. And I heard about that for some time. I can't bring her anger into this service today, but I want you to hear something from that. She had a passion for what she did. She was passionate about keeping those sheep and what would be produced. And the tradition of doing what her ancestors had done on land where they had always done it. That was underneath, and I could hear that in the midst of some of her strange comments about modern sheep farming. For all of the effort that shepherds put in, it is no longer a profitable industry. Its chief output is no longer valued. Now let's get to the text matter here. Sheep. The demise of shepherding as an admirable occupation is actually, I think, a problem for us as Christians. The beautiful scripture lesson from our Lord derives its meaning from ancient shepherding imagery. In our gospel reading, Jesus is teaching about his key role in our lives, and he gives us the portrait of a shepherd. If we don't comprehend the intricacies of shepherding, how can we grasp how Jesus is comparing himself to a shepherd? Without a clear shepherd model as a reference, how can we take hold of what Jesus is saying? Further, our Christian faith celebrates Jesus as the good shepherd. There are important lessons in this famous scripture passage that are important for us today. Concerns are safeguarding the conditions of our soul, life together as a congregation. What is it like to live under a local shepherd? In order to be blessed by the lessons of the good shepherd imagery, we have to get into the head of both the shepherd and the sheep. Now I'm going to mention a key here, which is the third piece. As we ponder what each of us is teaching, each of us will have to grapple with another question, which is running beneath my speaking today. Might shepherding people, pastoring, also be a dying vocation? Given new technologies, social trends, and contemporary preferences, might there be a better way to care for our souls than calling a local pastor? After all, gathering around a human pastor with all of their idiosyncrasies can be awkward, demanding, and at times disappointing. Perhaps congregational pastoring should go the way of shepherding sheep. Technology and social trends could bring about an opportunity for stealth-styled, custom-fitted spiritual formation that replaces pastoral care. Yeah, that's the beneath question. Neil, I didn't know it, but this message is for you today. Okay? Our three closing applications will return to face these three challenges. But let's go to what comes to mind when you hear Jesus depicted as the Good Shepherd. Now, I think I was a bit motivated for this message today based on that stained glass window, which I saw the last time I was here. Pastoral scenes of shepherds are scenic and pretty. They often depict Jesus carrying a little lamb, sometimes over his shoulders. Now, I bet that there's a history to that window. Does somebody know its history? Ah, okay. Well, certainly during the 1800s, that pastoring image of Jesus attending to sheep was very important in these hills and valleys. So it would at least have that connection. But I'm interested and curious about where its image came from. But I want it to do us a service today, because we're going to need to see beyond the tenderness and the quietness of that moment. Because we may picture Jesus as caring for little lambs. You'll often see a similar picture where? In a nursery, in a home. Will there be a picture of Jesus carrying a lamb, depicting how Jesus is taking care of that infant? And that's a beautiful image. But this lamb-tending role is equated with caring for a captive infant who is like a lost sheep. Lambs are cute, and adorable. Sheep are stubborn, ornery, dirty, and easily subject to destruction. Sheep have all sorts of ways of getting into trouble. Shepherding is more about sheep keeping than just keeping little lambs. Jesus gave us the parable. You want to hear this from the text, so let me put it there. Jesus gave us the parable of the shepherd not caring for the little lambs in the nursery, but going out and finding the lost sheep in rugged territory. The image of that shepherd is not sitting in the nursery. It's acting as a first responder and going out into the field where there are dangers, where there are risks, where there's peril, and somehow executing a marvelous rescue of the sheep. That's the image of the shepherd. And I love the stained glass. Actually, I love stained glass. But you have to now see that into that picture, that other duty of the shepherd, to leave those lambs and go after the lost sheep. The National Trust in England, the equivalent of our National Park Service, actually ran an ad in the London Times for a relief shepherd. They needed to hire some shepherds to take care of some flocks on this public national land. Surprisingly, they got hundreds of applications. Apparently, city dwellers, urbanites, were thinking being a relief sheep shepherd would be a pretty fun weekend gig. Unfortunately, those numbers dwindled after the first test weekend, until there were none left for that position. So despite initial interest, none were qualified, and even few could tolerate the rigors of the position. So they asked a shepherd, a modern shepherd, by the names of James Rebanks. Some of you may have actually read his book. This one is from the Four County Library System, so I have it out, but you can get it from the local library. It's called The Shepherd's Life by James Rebanks. And he's the author about a book on the shepherd's life, talking about what it's like to be a shepherd today in the ancient tradition. He's a shepherd from five generations of shepherds in the Lake District in Northern England. There's talk about making his book into the movie, so apparently there's something in there. I would love to see it. But he gives us five things about being a shepherd that are important. And I want you to hear these five. A shepherd needs to be as tough as old boots. That's a direct quote. The weather and terrain conditions are awful, and you have to fight both all year long. Two, a shepherd needs to be emotionally rugged. An aspect of shepherding requires learning that things just don't die. They are killed. Nature kills. Crows and carrion will eat a weak sheep, even if it's still alive, if those carnivores are not chased away. No children present. Sometimes a shepherd needs to skin a lamb in order to place that skin on another lamb so it will be adopted by a ewe. That's not a wimpy task. I just spoke to my brother yesterday who lives in this section of England, and he says there's something odd going on. He said you hear crying hour after hour and through the night. What crying is he hearing? It's the lambs being separated from their mothers at this time of year and put in their own green pasture because they're only a month or two away from being brought to market. Why mention these things? Shepherding is a tough profession, and you need an emotional ruggedness to go along with that image of lamb tending or other things that go along. Thirdly, shepherds need good dogs. It takes a resourceful team, and dogs can help herd and protect sheep, and they can get into nooks and crannies in the fields and in the mountains that human beings cannot get into. You need that kind of teamwork. And lastly, shepherds need other shepherds and must be able to communicate with them. Rebank says that it takes a community to cooperate in sheep care. So here's the conclusion. Shepherding is a Jack Bauer occupation. Shepherding is an anti-terrorist kind of job. It is not just sitting back and passively caring for sheep in a securely fenced-in pasture. It is caring for them in the rough and rugged wilderness. It's a tooth and claw kind of occupation. The good shepherd, and this is the point of this passage, is willing to give his life for the sheep. That must imply that there's some risk and danger to sheep keeping. This gets close to the image that Jesus is expecting will come to our minds when he speaks about being a good shepherd. There are terrorists out to destroy our souls. Now, shepherding is a very big idea in Scripture. This is just one message. Well, it's two, and I've got another one too. We'll see if it ever comes out. But the Bible is deeply invested in the theme of sheep. Some of its great names were shepherd: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David. Yes, there's sheep, maybe a few goats thrown in there, but they are shepherds, not only over flocks, but over Israel. So the image is rich and powerful. Peter, in his epistle, is emphasizing shepherd as his key metaphor for the way that Christian leaders take care of their congregations. And the book of Acts, which we read from today, speaks of a congregational response to the shepherding ministry of the apostles. So when we come to John 10, this is in Jesus' last discourse, he is giving an image that he wants to be very prominent in their thinking. He is a gate for the sheep. He's the protector of the sheep. Do we look to the shepherd as a protective figure? And it's critical to also remember that at the time that Jesus used this image, other leaders in the Middle East also used the image of a good shepherd. What did it mean to be a political leader who saw his work as a good shepherd? It meant being a leader who was willing to execute defensive violence. What do I mean by that? That kind of leader was not going to go out and conquer new territories, but that kind of leader was going to protect the sheep and the territory already under his care. This is not a tender or passive act. Recognize that this is part of that image of a shepherd. If I go back to Rebanks and pick out another quote from him, it will help us to understand what Jesus means by being a good shepherd. Rebanks says this, speaking of actual sheep keeping: to do this job well, you'll need the patience of a saint, because sheep test you to the limit with a million innovative ways to escape, ail, or die. Still want that job? The shepherding image is an important one. Now, I do think that as this message was gelling in my mind for you today, I was thinking of your new pastor coming. That was in part my thought. And I didn't know that what the answer would be. I just knew that there was something happening in the wind. And I'm glad that we're here on a day that you are rejoicing. Let's just refresh that image from John 10, 1 through 10, and Jesus' conclusion in verse 11. The true shepherd. The sheep recognize the voice, and the shepherd knows his sheep. There is an intimacy. There is a dialogue between shepherd and sheep. It is an interaction that is intricate. It's intensive. And it is critical for the survival of both the shepherd staying in the profession and for the sheep. The shepherd is the gate the shepherd, and I'm going to include here not just the one that you name as pastor, but the one that you, but all of those who function as Christian leaders, the shepherds guard the sheep. They are protective over the sheep. And there's a constant inventory and loss prevention strategy in place to reduce the need to have to go out and gather sheep. Think about that. Another direction I would like to take, but this would be another message, would be to look again at Psalm 23. What does it mean to say he leads us into green pastures? That's lovely scenery. But remember that for sheep, that's breakfast. It's the nurture and food that's going to come. So when a shepherd leads us, he's leading us to that basic food that we need to receive. And then finally, the good shepherd is loyal till death. Sacrifice is not a priority. It's just a natural way to secure sheep. Good shepherds work for the love of sheep, not for salary, status, or self-satisfaction. And this makes sense. So I know that I've been going back and forth between, at least in my thinking, shepherding sheep and shepherding people. So let me go to three applications. I'm going against my own principles. I think good messages have one application. It's a lot easier to remember that. But can you give me a little bit of room here? Three applications, because I want to go back to Rebank's 3 points and give you a charge as I leave. First application, and this is for all of us. Stay stubbornly under the care of the Good Shepherd. Okay? Sheep are stubborn. They're creatures of habit, and they are trained into habits that are good for their welfare and well-being. Stay stubbornly under the care of the Good Shepherd. Why is that important? Well, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned in his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is a phrase that comes up in Scripture a number of times. We're sheep who wander, we're sheep who rebel, we're sheep who don't stay under the care of the Good Shepherd. Sheep test limits, and people are often hopelessly hungry, hurting, or helpless, not just because they have had some misfortune, but because they've made a series of decisions or wandered from the habits that are good for their souls. Please hear what I'm saying in that statement. In short, we need a shepherd to protect us from ourselves. And Jesus is the only shepherd who can turn us from our self-destructive tendencies and guide us into eternal life. Second application. Different way of thinking about this. Different way of bringing it home. Model your care for others after the Good Shepherd. Part of this image of the Good Shepherd is there so that we will imitate, so that we will be like the Good Shepherd. Who are you here to protect, nurture, shape, or care for? Who are your charges? Who are you shepherding? Maybe it's grandchildren, maybe it's parents, maybe it's grandparents, maybe it's the neighbor's child, maybe it's those who are in your classroom or those who come into your medical practice. Whoever they are, how are you caring for them? And are you modeling the Good Shepherd as you care for others? Now, if you're going to do it, let's remember, let's let the voice of Rebank's kind of echo in our thinking. If you're going to do your work as shepherding well, be as tough as old boots. Now that means be gutsy in your protectiveness. Avoid being anxious or overbearing, but be ready to be proactive and to stand up for your sheep. Be emotionally rugged. This one I should dwell on for a long time. Be prepared to feel lonely. Know your sheep and think about their interests. Being a shepherd can be an isolated and lonely profession, and your work as shepherding may be a thankless task. The sheep don't always say, "Thank you so much for shepherding me." And you have to persist in the task anyway. Third, find a good dog. Well, maybe not literally, but find those who can be good resources around you at your disposal. You're going to need to be working with a team to be a good shepherd, not just out there on your own. You don't have all the eyes and ears or the feet to get where you need to go and to be where you need to be. Lastly, team with other shepherds. Use community resources to help you be the best shepherd. So that's application number two. You shepherd as the good shepherd. And the last one, be receptive, responsive, and ready to support your pastoral leaders. All of this talk of sheep, shepherding, thieves, and security is really a discussion about the well-being of your soul. Many want to control and influence our souls. So the good shepherd uses under-shepherds in church communities to pastor us as sheep in the midst of a world of wolves, dangerous terrain, and frustrating weather. When you come to worship, when the scriptures are read and you're praying for the Holy Spirit to speak with you, are you praying for your pastor, for your leader? Are you ready to let his voice touch your soul and stir your heart? Are you grateful for your pastoral shepherd who guides you through ways of remembering your convictions and helps you to dedicate your souls to God? Now, I've been a seminary professor for longer than I want to count, but congregations have as much of a role in preparing shepherds for ministry, maybe a more important role for preparing people for ministry than the seminary. I can tell you what the seminary does, but that's not the point of today's message. You have a role in that. And I want to this isn't in my script, but just say it to you as a congregation. Sometimes our role in a congregation is to prepare a pastor for their ministry in the future, in addition to sustaining them in the ministry that they have today. Pastors don't always stay with us for as long as we want. Now, I hope this next one stays with you for 30 years, but I have seeing churches and knowing how it works, we need to be diligent and serious about raising under-shepherds up for the next generation. And you have a chance to do that in the days ahead. Well, I'm there with these applications. There really is going to be a choice that we face in our world today. Many individuals are opting to feed their souls by using other means than committing to a local congregation and to a local under-shepherd. There are ways that you can selectively gather around yourself good teaching. You can play a devotional on your device. I do that all the time. You can find and pick the time and the place that you want to enter into some kind of private worship, rather than have to meet at the same time with a congregation and be together. What's best? What's important? You know, maybe it's really no big deal that shepherding sheep in the ancient tradition is no longer a valid, viable occupation. But we would be able to say the same thing if shepherding God's people becomes a lost vocation. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be with this congregation today. I pray that the Holy Spirit might filter, select, and maybe even change the way that these ideas have been expressed. Help those who are here to hear your voice and to expand their image of the Good Shepherd to be ready for the days that are ahead. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name.